started getting into business and dealing with very important matter regarding international agreements in our country and other countries. I received one apology from the Honorable Van Dingen that she's with other commitments. Thank you, Secretary. You can file that. I get an understanding apology for Honorable Sandy from KCN. Welcome to the Honorable Members. Documentation was circulated prior to this meeting as well as the second part of this meeting, the agenda, the reports and the minutes were also circulated, so I thank you that Honorable Members get to those reports.
It's just on the issue of apologies. Honorable Gandhi has resigned from SOP. So we must note the resignation from SOP that there's no longer a standing apology. Thank you.
Well, then another process will kick in to request the honorable member and then request the committee as well. But that's the SOP at this time, the process we were there. We're looking forward to the member that will be joining us. But thank you for that information, Honorable Mutara. Honorable Mutara is the whip of our committee. And represents us in the whip of the army in the program meeting. We give the Honorable Mutara an opportunity before we attend just to take us through the latest developments in terms of the program. She can focus on that. Welcome to the National Treasury and SAS. Taking us through the presentation. But before I get there, in the news were reported on television, printed media, radio, the World Economic Outlook of the International Monetary Fund. I recommend that honorable members go into this website and have a reading on this document. It's very important. It gives us a global picture seen through the lens of the IMF, which is also affecting South Africa, and we'll hear more about that next week, 21st of October, when the Minister of Finance tables the medium-term budget policy statement. So, thank you. I refer all the members to that reading, some homework. Dealing today on the members is the agreements, international agreements between South Africa and the countries of Zimbabwe and the Republic of Brazil, the Republic of Zimbabwe and the Republic of Brazil, for the avoidance of double taxation and the prevention of fiscal evasion with respect to taxes on income, and then also other agreements between South Africa and countries for the exchange of information relating to tax matters. It's not the first time that we're dealing with this. We covered this last year as well. Agreements coming up, in this case between South Africa and the government of St. Christopher and Nevis, I don't know if I pronounce it correct, the government of Turks and the Caicos Islands, and the government of the Oriental Republic of Uruguay. They also play a rugby in the World Cup. So there we are. Mr. Volvo, welcome. It's your team. It's also related to the Springbok rugby player. We're really very, very fortunate to have Mr. Volvo in our match today. So introduce your team and then you can start your briefing and on the agreements.
Thank you. My name is Rutanda Mbogo. I'm from the National Treasury, and I'm with my colleague, Louis and Chief Colisans.
Morning, I'm Nako Mumalaji from the National Treasury.
Good morning,
also Rutanda. Good morning, honorable members. My name is Nkolo Tola. I'm from SAR.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I work for the region from the National Student Affairs Committee limited to our third acronym, Zimbabwe. The other acronym will be the presentation is done by my colleague from SAS. As an auxiliary, we don't get involved in the negotiation of exchange of information agreement. Our protocol, which does the exchange of information, those are exchange of information between two tax authorities. We deal with things only on a policy level. So the exchange of information is not a policy issue, it's more than a sensitive issue. Without further ado, I will start with my presentation on Zimbabwe. The Zimbabwe is a negotiation of the old tax treaty. South Africa and Zimbabwe have had tax treaty for almost more than 50 years now. Our first agreement came into force in 1965. At that time, both countries' tax systems were not developed. In fact, Zimbabwe at that time was called Southern Rhodesia. And the agreement that we have currently still affects to Zimbabwe and Southern Rhodesia. So we had to renegotiate the agreement in line with international development and the increase in economic and flows between the two countries. As you might be aware, at the time when we negotiated South Africa's source system, we didn't have capital gains taxes, we didn't have withholding taxes on royalties, we didn't have dividend tax, and the argument doesn't have actual dealing with issues like capital gains tax. So there were certain loopholes in the current agreement that had to be fixed. And with regards to investment flows, there is a lot of starting companies with operations in Zimbabwe, and the movement of people between South Africa and Zimbabwe increased dramatically. So it was important that we renegotiate the treaty. South Africa and Zimbabwe are also members of the SADC. So from a regional perspective, it was important that we have a treaty that is in line with international development. The renegotiation started in mid-2012, and in 2014 we therefore reached a conclusion. We did a preliminary hearing briefing in May this year in Zimbabwe, and the agreement was signed on 4 August 2015 in Zimbabwe during the SADC Minister of Finance meeting.
Thank you, Chair. With regard to double taxation agreements, for the purpose of the agreement to remove the barriers to cross-border trade and investment, our agreements actually follow the OECD and UN model conventions that actually form the vast majority of agreements worldwide. So we follow certain models. What we focus on in terms of the presentation are the articles which are different from the normal SAA approach. So we look at it from our approach in terms of the technical aspect. Now, in terms of Article 4 on residence, Paragraph 3 is very important after being with dual residence of a person other than a natural person. And in that case, the competent authorities shall by mutual agreement decide where the person is deemed to be a resident. And they will take into account numerous factors such as place of exit management, the place where they've been incorporated or the constitution, and other relevant factors. Now, in the absence of such an agreement between the competent authorities, that person will not be entitled to any relief or exemption in terms of the agreement, except in the manner as agreed upon by the competent authority of the contracting state. Article 5 of Constitution, another section of Constitution, paragraph 3 on deemed establishment. We have a construction treaty which does not continue for a period of more than 6 months for fees to be granted, and then we have the furnishing of services, and that will continue for periods of 183 days in any 12-month period for fee triggers. And then the performance of services by individuals, which must continue for a period of periods exceeding 183 days in any 12-month period for fee triggers. often team deals with immigrants, and almost any reasonable state taxation is limited. But full state taxation is limited to prior to age when there's a shareholding of 25% in a company, and in all other cases it's 10%. Article 11 on interest. We again permit source and resident state taxation, and there's a limitation of full state taxation of 5%. We do have an exemption in paragraph 3 for the state, central bank, and the instruments listed on the recognized stock exchange, and that's in line with our domestic rules. In paragraph 4, has the definition of the recognized stock exchange, which is the JSE for South Africa and the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange. Article 12 deals with royalty. Again, source and resident state taxation is permitted, and source state taxation is limited to 10%. Article 13 deals with our technical fees. Again, it allows source and resident state taxation for technical fees, and a technical fee is a payment of any kind made to any person in relation to the services of an administrative, technical, managerial, consultant in nature. The withholding tax at source is 5%. Then we have 25 on exchange of information. This is in line with both the OECD and UN model conventions, which allows the exchange of information tax with every kind and description. Bank secrecy and domestic tax interests can no longer be used to deny requests for exchange of information. And this article allows exchange of information on requests, spontaneous and automatic exchange of information. 26 deals with assistance in collection of taxes, and this actually permits the two states to collect taxes on behalf of each other. And of course, in terms of the definition of revenue claims, will include taxes of every kind and description, and will include interest, administrative penalties, and the cost of collection or conserving these related to that amount of the revenue claim. Chair, this brings me to a conclusion from my presentation on Zimbabwe, and the next one is Brazil, should I proceed? Well, Brazil is just one article because the Brazil protocol to the double taxation convention between South Africa and Brazil, we merely amended one article, Article 26 in exchange of information. Again, we deleted the old Article 26 and replaced it with a new Article 26. It's in line with the OECD and UN models. And bank secrecy and domestic tax interests can no longer be used to deny requests for information. In terms of the CPR article, we can make requests for information in terms of requests, spontaneous and automatic exchanges. That was the only change for the Brazil agreement. Yes.
Well, members, there you have it. I think it is not complicated. Can we proceed with the other agreements as well? It's not major. Thank you. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Now, when it comes to tax information exchange agreements, we presented a number of these agreements to the Committee for Formal Ratification last year. And the purpose of the agreements is to allow effective exchange of information between tax authorities. These particular agreements only deal with exchange of information requests only, which is part of the international standard. We deal with the tax information exchange agreements with Uruguay, and what I've done is I'm using Uruguay as a basis, and when I get to Santa to Nevis and Turks and Caicos, I've just looked at the articles which are different from the presentation in order to save time. Basically, when you're negotiating these agreements, South Africa's model is based on one of the models of the OECD. There are two models that the OECD has, and some of the differences in terms of our agreements come from the second model, because some countries have a preference for the second model. And sometimes differences actually come about because of the treaty negotiators preferring another language in terms of drafting. So our agreements are based on the OECD model tax prevention. And again, in this particular agreement, bank secrecy and domestic tax interests cannot be used as a reason to deny a request for information. The fifth article is Article 1 on scope of the agreement. And exchange of information has to be perceived relevant to the administration enforcement of the domestic rules. And this includes information that is specifically relevant to the determination, assessment, and the collection of taxes, and also the recovery and enforcement of a tax claim, and also in relation to investigation and prosecution of criminal tax matters in relation to a person. We have to ensure that the exchange of information is not unduly prevented or delayed, so we need to exchange information as quickly as possible, and we need to be very quick. Now, in terms of this agreement, we have an additional article on jurisdiction, which is normally in our model included under Article 1. And so when we come to Turks and Caicos, the renumbering of agreements, because in the Turks and Caicos agreement, we have jurisdiction included in Article 1 instead of a separate article. So Article 5 deals with exchange of information upon request. And information has to exchange without regard to domestic tax interest, where the requested party needs that information for its own tax purposes, or dual criminality, where the conduct being investigated constitutes a crime under the laws of the requested party. Then the domestic law should allow for exchange of information. Now it's very important that information held by banks and other financial institutions, and held by any other person as a nominee or trustee, at an agency or fiduciary capacity, must be able to be exchanged. And so we'll need to provide information regarding the ownership of companies, partnerships, foundations, and other persons, including information on collective engagement schemes, related information on shared units and other interests. In the case of trusts, we need the information on settlers, trustees, and beneficiaries to be available under our domestic law. And in the case of foundations, we need the information on the founders, the members of the foundation council, and the beneficiaries. The exchange of information does not create an obligation on any of the parties to exchange ownership information in regard to publicly traded companies or collective investments, public collective investments, funds or teams, unless that information can be obtained by that jurisdiction without regard to do the portion difficulties. Therefore, it shouldn't be difficult for the jurisdiction to actually obtain that information. Then they can exchange it, but it doesn't actually create an obligation on the case of the jurisdiction to exchange this information. So it's normally quite difficult to have information, public information, and change quite rapidly. So the six packet determination, the board are permitted, and it allows for representatives of the copyright authorities of the requesting party to be in the territory of the requested party, but that is actually has to be permitted under the domestic law. It allows for the presence of an interview, and all of this is subject to the approval of the requested party. Article 7, the possibility of declining a request. There are certain exceptions to providing information, and one of them is the company authority may decline an information request, which is contrary to public policy. It does not impose any of its obligations to provide information where the disclosure would relate to any trade, business, industrial, commercial, professional, secret or trade process. And request for information cannot be refused on the ground that the taxpayer is actually giving rise to a request that's being disputed by the taxpayer. Information will not be provided if the law discriminates against the national office of the requested party. And then in terms of confidentiality, all information has to be kept confidential. And the information received may only be disclosed to persons or authorities, including courts and administrative bodies. The information received may not be disclosed to any other person or authority or other jurisdiction without the express written consent of the competent authority of the requested party. And then 9 on COPS. The COPS article is drafted in the terms of international standards. It was actually to make sure that the requested party did not receive excessive amounts of requests, and also fishing expeditions were not permitted. So in terms of costs, the company authorities agree that indirect costs, which are your ordinary costs, are borne by the requested party, and then the direct costs, which are extraordinary costs, are borne by the requested party. And that is the standard that you require in all of the agreements that are stated and in certain cases. Moving on to thank Christopher St. Kitts and Nevis. What I focus on in terms of Article 1, objectives and scope of agreement, and I merely put in the articles that are different in drafting from what I've already presented. And in terms of the title, normally in our agreement we use Article 1 is mainly called scope of the agreement. Here it's objective and scope of the agreement. In terms of paragraph 2 of the final Article 1, there is merely a reference here to recovery and enforcement of tax claims and the investigation and prosecution of tax matters. There's no reference to criminal tax matters, although it is implied in the drafting. It was a request from consultants to drop the language of criminal tax matters. We don't also have Article 2 on jurisdiction. We split it because since it's requested that we include an article on jurisdiction instead of including it under Article 1. And then in terms of Article 5, the difference is actually just in the drafting, where we combined paragraph B, which is only Roman numeral 1 and 2, we combined it into one paragraph now. And so we have to provide the ownership information of companies, partnerships, trusts, foundations, or unskeletons, which is a form of foundation, and all the ownership information in the ownership chain now. This is not any different from what we have, the language that we can only have in our model. It's just that this is what was proposed by St. Kitts and Nevis, and this was fine for us. We will be able to exchange this information. The unskeletons are a form of foundation found in St. Kitts and Nevis, not in South Africa. Okay, but we included it so that if the company goes to South Africa made a request regarding the ownership information in unskeletons, then St. Kitts would be able to give us this information. So we've listed it here. Then in terms of minor costs, there's some different things we're dropping. Here, instead of referring to direct costs, which are your extraordinary costs, which are borne by the requested party, the language here is merely referred to ordinary costs, which are your direct costs. And then your indirect costs, which are your, the indirect costs are the ordinary costs borne by the requested party, still in line with the previous agreement with Uruguay. The direct costs are your extraordinary costs, and those are borne by the requesting party, and those are the costs in terms of engaging with external advisors in connection with litigation or otherwise, other extraordinary costs should be borne by the requesting party. And then there's a renumbering in terms of this agreement, and it's because Article 10 on implementation of legislation. Now that article is found in the second model of the OECD, and St. Kitts and Nevis wanted this article. So we included, and that's why we have a subsequent renumbering of the article. Then in terms of Turk and Caicos, again in Article 1, scope of the agreement based on drafting differences. In terms of paragraph 1, we talk about conceivably relevant to enforcement of domestic laws. In our model, we look at enforcement and administration. The word administration is not included here. It's still the language is applied, and it's still in terms of the model. And then in the second paragraph, there's no reference to recovery and settlement of tax paid. It's still in terms of the drafting, because we do refer to enforcement or collection of the taxes. So we still cover it, and we can still make sure that the information in terms of the screening. In terms of this particular agreement, Article 2 of jurisdiction is included in Article 1. We didn't split the article. And then in terms of Article 4, exchange of information for request, in terms of paragraph 2, B, Roman numeral 1, is a reference to information regarding the legal and beneficial ownership of companies, partners, foundations, and other persons. Well, normally we refer in the other agreements to ownership or ownership chain, which is the same, means exactly the same as legal and beneficial ownership of the company. And then in Article 8 of COS, which is very different from our normal drafting, here the company authorities have agreed that there will be a memorandum of understanding, an MOU on COP, and it relates to the operational matters. The company authorities have done the MOU, and it was signed by our commissioner.
and it's basically in line with all other cost articles. The direct costs, which are the extraordinary costs borne by the requesting parties, indirect costs are the ordinary costs borne by the requesting parties. And basically, the energy was merely to be a little bit more explicit and go into the details and spell out the relevant costs. But this was on request of the Turks and Caicos. It was fine with us. We do have a few other agreements where we've done a memorandum of understanding on costs. It's merely to spell out in further details how costs would be allocated within the conference project. Okay, that brings me to Amy. That's my presentation.
Thank you, Maharaj, Mr. Bowles. Honourable members, questions? Very straightforward. Major, not major amendments. Honourable, yes? Also international clients, so that we must comply with that. Thank you, honourable members, and I put the following to the committee. Having received the presentations, explaining to us the different agreements, because on each agreement there is now a report to be tabled and to be tabled in the House as well. I'm going to read to you for record purposes. Every report. The Select Committee on Finance, having considered the request for approval by Parliament of agreement between the Government of the Republic of South Africa and the Government of the Republic of Zimbabwe for the avoidance of double taxation and the prevention of fiscal evasion with respect to taxes on income payable in terms of Section 231, Subsection 2 of the Constitution 1996, approved of the said agreement. Can I get the move for this? Seconder, thank you. We'll keep it there. We'll sign it. The next one is the Select Committee on Finance, having considered the request for approval by Parliament of the protocol amending the agreement between the Government of the Republic of South Africa and the Government of the Federated Republic of Brazil for the avoidance of double taxation and prevention of fiscal evasion with respect to taxes on income tabled in terms of Section 231, Subsection 2 of the Constitution 1996, approve of the said protocol. I put this to the committee for adoption and second. Now we must go into oversight. We're now coming to the issue of the information relating to tax matters. The Select Committee on Finance, having considered the request for approval by Parliament of the agreement between the Government of the Republic of South Africa and the Government of Turks and Caicos Islands for the exchange of information relating to tax matters tabled in terms of Section 231, Subsection 2 of the Constitution 1996, approve of the said agreement. Proposal for adoption and the seconder. Thank you. Here we come to the Government of St. Christopher. Select Committee on Finance, having considered the request for approval by Parliament of the agreement between the Government of the Republic of South Africa and the Government of St. Christopher, St. Kitts and Nevis for the exchange of information relating to tax matters tabled in terms of Section 231, Subsection 2 of the Constitution 1996, approve of the said agreement. Proposal for adoption. And the seconder. Thank you. Good one. The Select Committee on Finance, having considered the request for approval by the Parliament of the agreement between the Government of the Republic of South Africa and the Government of the Oriental Republic of Uruguay for the exchange of information relating to tax matters tabled in terms of Section 231, Subsection 2 of the Constitution, 1996, approved the said agreement. Move for adoption. Honourable members, thank you, and seconded. Thank you. Have we done everyone now? Thank you. That concludes, honourable members, the agreements, and then we'll take the due course to the ITC and then to the House. Thank you for your presence, informing us of this very important agreement. You are released. We are going on to other business now, so have a cup of tea outside and have a fresh trip back. It's only in Cape Town than in Pretoria. But you get the thunder weather this afternoon. Yes. Thank you, honourable members. We will give them time to release themselves. Going with quite a speed through the agenda. That will bring us, honourable members, to the outstanding committee reports. And there's a few reports that we have to deal with. Now you ask me, why only now? Well, there was, in terms of the entropy program, we were outside Parliament conducting oversight, provincial weeks, etc. And this is our first opportunity, like yesterday in appropriations, where we can deal with our reports. I put it on the members, these reports were circulated. The one on the provincial treasuries was circulated 2 months ago. So I take it that on the members read through it, submitted the inputs to Mr. Hendel. I went through it. No, you can't. Because we're going to deal with them in a few more time again. The 9 provincial treasuries. It's an ongoing business of this committee. I take on the members, I put you to you page 1 of the report on the provincial treasuries expenditure. This is a very important report on the members because we look at the fiscal position of each province. This report lands up on the table of the Minister of Finance eventually and informs him what the following said about our province fiscal position. Although the Budget Council meets every quarter, also engaging with the provinces, but this is Parliament. Yes, that's the difference. I put to all the members page 1. Are you satisfied with 1? Page 2 is the capturing of the presentations. Page 3, ongoing market shipping.
On page 3, I don't want to remain a fool forever. I know hydration and immigration. What is with the eastern TBA, the whole migration? If I don't understand that, if I could be clarified what our migration is. No. The province is experiencing social economic. Sentence number 3, my father. Yes. Talk about out migration. If I can be clarified about that, and the other issue on the same page. How people migration? How they don't migrate to the other province, they out migrate. That is what I said, I don't understand.
Of people affecting the constraints on the
road. Oh, the in migration would be.
Yes. In and out. You must remember.
The first time honorable district is more region than. And I acknowledge that. On the same page.
Order on the members, order on what I should be still on the floor.
On the same page.
On the airtrack opportunity.
On the same page, on the same paragraph. The last sentence, increase access to basic services is comma. Support smallholder farmers develop. I'm not sure what does that mean. The regional tourism center and geographical sustainability. I don't understand the context and what I want to talk about.
I've read it.
Yes,
I think it should be
development. Reports move format development, comma.
Yes.
There must be a comma.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We put in the comma. Thank you.
I recognize
the you passed over a cup of tea outside after the meeting, I don't know now. This is not on the agenda. On the members, anyone on page 4, on page 3?
Page 4. The last subject, the levels of approval were higher, but the province reported a positive cash position.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay.
Yes, that is how they presented.
Okay.
At the end of this report, I'll come in with my overall impression of the 9 provinces.
Okay.
I'll make my own summary on the one on outer page, referring to this. But anyone else on page 4? About page 4? Nothing? Page 5?
Fine.
Let's go to page 6. Fine, page 7.
Okay.
He's just resisting. Page 9, the comment observations. What did we observe? What was our experience? Listening to the 9 provinces. There you have it. Page 9, the observations. What did we observe? Right? Page 10.
Check the number of pages observation.
Yes, sir.
On page 10, point 10. I realize that we have observed something in relation to money owing to the Free State. In the presentation, in terms of the Free State, there is nothing that alludes to the fact that there was any amount owed. But then we observed, I'm not sure how we came to observe, that perhaps it should be in another document. And the other issue, if I can be given a hearing, perhaps you call us. We should, at all times in our observations, try to avoid ambiguity and begin to say what is that we are saying was owed in the observation. It was owed, may mean anything. And I'm not clear where I'm thinking as to what you've been owed. And it's our observation.
Do you have to delete that 3.10?
If it's our observation, what is it that we have observed that is being owed?
Then you must put in the correct figure. If that figure,
yes.
I can't remember the name.
Yes.
There was not the exact amount name. That's not long enough. So I put you page 10. 3.10. Anyone else on 3.10? You want to leave it like that? Page 11. Page 10 and 11 refer to recommendations. Honorable Essa?
On page 11,
4.11. Yes. 4.12?
Yeah. I don't think it's safe that professional traders should learn from the electronic system of the country. Can't be changed that to learn.
What's your proposal? Formulation. Like you can assist to take it there, this formulation. What is, I think you have the best practice model there.
Yeah.
And we refer to all our engagements, we pass promises, talk to each other about best practices. Yes. On the member, that is page 11, I put this now to the committee. That is.
I have always maintained that my level of intellect is a little bit higher. 4.1.3 does not address what I was talking about. And I want everybody to open this ear very clear. I said it's owed to what amount and it's not specified. Yeah, and avoid ambiguity. And what is that is owed? Is it money? Is it house? Whatever it may be. And now you are becoming more to my level. Thank you.
See, when these treasuries appear again before us, this report is a reference. Because we send to them. And they must come and tell us what is they correct. The current fiscal position. So, yes. Honourable members, I put this report to the committee. A proposal for adoption. Honourable Issa proposed, and Honourable Mota should be second. Now.
With a very high level of intelligence.
All the members of nine provinces, that was, I made my own summary. And this is what we will have to engage when we call them again. This will be in the first term, the first quarter 2016. We don't have enough because of the NCP program. These two provinces, we're calling them to parliament. There's two provinces that there's orange light flickering. The one is the Free State, where the cash balance was 162.6 million rand. But the accruals is 1.221 billion rand. The other one is Northern Cape, where the cash balance was 295 million and the accruals 1 billion. And this comes from the presentation of the National Treasury, Mr. Shishi. Good from his presentation. This, the provinces must also report on what did they do. Also, what did they do in terms of unauthorized expenditure, irregular expenditure, wasteful expenditure. You see? I just want to give this picture to the other members. We will threaten your memory again when we do the interaction next year. Thank you, Mr. Bentu. That's our report. The other one says, yes.
Just a comment you've made. It's like the numbers that we're referring to. Now, we're going to have the people report back here next quarter, next year. Back in January, if we get bills and figures, you know, you could be just talking 1.5 billion.
I don't know who used sometimes in quiet. It's a mechanism that you play. So maybe not let the situation work.
Yes. The mechanism is the provincial legislature. Committee on Finance, the SCOPA. Why? Because annual reports are dealt with in the legislature of the provinces, each provincial department. In my province, it's practice that finance sits together with SCOPA dealing with annual reports, 100%. And the relevant departments, commerce, agriculture, what the case may be. I sensitize, I'm in constant contact with my chairperson of finance in my province. I see it as part of my role, representing my province in the NCP. And that is the crucial link between us and the provincial legislature. In terms of the intervention, now you'll hear it tomorrow afternoon when we deal in that workshop on interventions. The culture created of closer cooperation between the NCP and Limpopo provincial legislature on the intervention. It's not us and them, it's we. It's we. That's why we call for next week's MTDDS, as we do the national budget tabling, the chairs of the finance committees in the legislators be part of us. It will be fantastic if we could call those, and we can do it, those chairs to these quarterly meetings to the NCLP, but they can't always come. They've got their own committee program. To come on board. But it's our job to give that information to our provincial legislature.
No, I think what you said, and I think what you said makes absolute sense. But fortunately, you are in constant contact with your
Thank you, Member. That deals with the Provincial Fisheries Report.
Thank you.
to. Satisfied with page 2, page 3. Page 3, all the members. Satisfied, page 4. This is the presentations we received.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
On page 4.
Page 4.
Bullet point number 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yes.
I don't understand this. I'm just thinking of the need for infrastructure. Due to lack of cash to commit contracts with service providers, and an amount of 40 million was never transferred as a result of the understanding. But what does this mean when you say understanding of the municipal infrastructure that are due to lack of cash to commit contracts? To commit contract. What does it mean?
Well, we'll have to go back to that presentation because there's okay. Discussions from the presentation. You will have to check it, please. Anyone else on page 4?
Back on page 4. The last. Immediately before the presentation by the Umkhanyaku district municipality, for example, at Utuba Tuba and Saliba, the amount of 3 million was offered. And at Chozini, an amount of 10 million, I suspect, was also solved. Not also solved. It gives another interpretation. Also solved. You get what I mean?
Welcome, Honorable Mateni. We are on page 5 of the case in the report. No, that's not the point. Let's get on with the business. I hear what the Honorable Mateni is saying. Page 5 of the members. Page 6. Yes, page 3. Which page?
Page 6.
Page 6.
On the district, but there's the following challenges. I am not sure whether to characterize this as a challenge before I understand. The first point, that the municipality obtained a qualification audit outcome in 2013-14. It is a challenge because it was a steady hometown in terms of the audit outcome. Was it from a disclaimer to a qualification? Or from a disclaimer to a qualification? Because if it is that it's an improvement, it's not a challenge. I'm not sure why it was a challenge, a qualification. Was it an improvement or a degrading of the audit outcome?
But we'll check that. Yeah. Anyone else on page 6?
Bullet number 3. Bullet
number
3? Yeah. I think bullet number 1,
second
number 6 should be 1. Second? 1. Bullet number 1
is 1. Command. Page 7, all the members. Page 8. Page 9. Page 10, we come to recommendations. Page 11, which is by IDZ. Page 12. 13. Page 14. I put the members page 15 on order. Can we focus on the report, please? Page 15. How do you say it's fine? Yes, I need to do it. Honorable Motala, did I hear you?
No.
Page 17. Page 18. That Canubia Integrated Human Settlement Development is the biggest housing program I've ever seen in my life. Yes, it's enormous. Page 19. Other members, page 20. I put a report to the honorable members with corrections to be made. There's a mover, honorable Motara, should be moved to adoption and seconded. Thank you, honorable Motara. Honorable Motara seconds. That deals with the report. The other one that will be circulated is the report on the oversight in Limpopo. So that will be circulated. Request from the Secretariat that you please look through that report and make your inputs to Mr. Hendu. Any corrections? Grammar, anything you put to it. Also, members, that brings us to the minutes of the month of September. Where's that one? The 28th of July is quite a while back. The briefing by the Director for Crime, for Priority Crime Investigation, that's an anti-corruption task team. Question 1, your name spelled correctly, your presence, apologies. Page 2, and page 3. I put the minutes to the honorable members. Honorable Gaila moves for adoption. Honorable Ezra seconds. That brings us to the 12th of August, when we received the briefing on the POPO, the Monitoring Evaluation Team, briefing on the Rights and Monetary Amounts Amendment Bill, and consideration of minutes. Page 1. I must say, Honorable Mokhosi came here for about 10 minutes and then she left. But it's good that she came to the Finance Committee. Pardon? The apology, they will check the attendance register. It's very important, members, to sign that attendance register. It's very important. Page 2, page 3, reading by the Premier, report by the MME, reading on the rights and monetary amounts, amendment bill, and the consideration of minutes. Resolution. I put the minutes of the 12th of August to the committee. Although Motara moves to adoption, although Motara Supreme second, that brings us to the last set of members, the 22nd of September 2015. Briefing by SARS, FSC, begin the committee report on the rights and monetary amount amendment laws. Well, page one. It's fine. Page two. It's fine. And on the members. Page three. Yeah. Very good meeting. Page three. Can I get a mover for adoption? Honorable Isaac moves for adoption. Honorable Mahai second. Thank you. Thank you, honorable members. That deals with the agenda. Now, there was a program meeting this morning. Honorable members received the two committees programmed for October and November. It's packed. So please, we rely on your cooperation to be present at all our meetings. It's very important meetings. Dealing with legislation, dealing with the MTPBS, that we finalize and not carry work over to 2016. Starting afresh. Honorable Motala, I put you on the floor. Please inform us.
Thank you, Chair. Just to indicate that the MTPBS process will begin on the 21st. It's the 21st to the lock-up session. It's next week Wednesday. And then to start the process of MTPBS. If members refer to the program which should be circulated before the end of today, it will give an indication of the detail from the 21st up until the end of the term. As is normal practice with the committee, we'll have to work on Fridays for some of the meetings where it doesn't impact on joint committees. But just to indicate that it's not every Friday. It's not every Friday. It's only one Friday.
Sure. I'll take your extension.
Well, what I should be just give the honourable member of the opportunity, and after that we can ask questions. Honourable Tara, proceed.
On the 21st, there's no other joint committee that's meeting. It's just a committee on appropriation. So, as the program stands, it doesn't impact on any joint committee currently. And that's next week Friday. Unless something happens between today and Friday, there's no joint committee sitting next week Friday. So that's the process, that's all we'll be engaged with as the committee sitting for finance and appropriations until the end of the term. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Honourable Moderator.
Chair, it's unfortunate. You see, in terms of our planning alignment, Fridays are reserved for joint committee. I would have sent you the difficulty of this thing. I share one, we're supposed to have reported to Parliament in other. Because of this game, it's not only myself, but quite a number of members who said in that are unable to attend, or are even to adopt their form, because Fridays are reserved for trade committees. And to at all costs try to avoid a situation where we schedule meetings on unless in exceptional cases. But we shouldn't be paying for it. Now, none of this, there's a constitutional review also. You see, we stayed on Friday, and we put ample time during the rest of the week. I think we must schedule that meeting at any other time, please. It's really disturbing other committees.
The old member,
yes.
We are conducting our work in terms of the Money Bills Act, which got specific time frames. Yeah, I advise members to go read that act again. It's got contents. And we must comply to it. Because this money being allocated in the MTPBS, adjustment appropriations, amendment to the Division of Revenue must go through this parliamentary process before the money is released. Because government must function. Fathers, I just want to give you that picture. So we will try and scrutinize as best we can between finance and appropriations. The bulk of the work lies in appropriations, the division of revenue process and the appropriation. Finance deals with the fiscal revised fiscal framework and revenue, etc. Public hearings, on the matter.
Chair, just to indicate that, as I said, next week Friday, there are no joint committees that have been scheduled. That's the one. During the taking part to the people protest program, which is a report back program, we have scheduled a sitting to deal with the division of revenue board. It's going to take place in Auckland, there's just something that we need to finalize. I think we'll finalize it outside the meeting, because there's two votes that we are scheduled to deal with in that week. And if they don't impact, if we can find an alternate date, because they are currently scheduled for the Tuesday and Thursday, but if they don't impact on the project of that legislation, if we can schedule this earlier or later, just for 2 days. But the Division of Revenue sitting, the sitting to deal with the Division of Revenue, as well as the committee meeting to adopt the report, will take place during the State Parliament of the People program in Auckland.
Clearly, the same exercise if you look at when we are taking part in the program, taking Parliament to the People, so we've got used to that. On the ESA. That's not ours. We are deployed by more senior people than us. Honourable members, that brings us to the end of this meeting. We see each other next week in the lock-up session. Very important, the lock-up session. We get the documents on the MTPPS afternoon 2 o'clock, the tabling in the National Assembly, and then the briefing on the Thursday by the Minister and the Deputy Minister. It's a session of all four committees on the Thursday, and that Friday is appropriations on the amendments to the Appropriation Bill and the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. And then the process goes on. So thank you for 10 o'clock. Eat before 9. Thank you for members. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.